Good afternoon, welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 PM on May 21st, 2024. And time to reconvene a regular meeting with the Snohomish County PD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me is Tony Olson, our Vice President, Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, Colin Willenbrock, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission Executive Services Director, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phone or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have nothing.
Okay, thank you. Comments from the public is item two on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial star 9 if by phone, and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk. We'll distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first, if you join me for the flag salute.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first agenda item is item two, comments from the public. Any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda, please state your first and last name for the record. So we have Mr. Keeler today. Good afternoon, Mr. Keeler.
My name is Stephen Keeler. I'm a resident of Edmonds, Washington. Good afternoon, commissioners. I presented you with a small packet, which is really a self-directed update for the current state of Terra Powers and the Southern Companies and the Idaho National Laboratory's efforts with respect to the molten chloride reactor experiment. The single 8.5 by 11 page is an abstract from a recent presented paper. The first two paragraphs will give you a very easy read as to what is going on at the Idaho National Laboratory, known as INL. The molten chloride reactor experiment, acronym is MCRE. You'll see on the legal size cover document a pictorial overview of INL's facility. The acronym ZPPR stands for Zero Power Reactor Experiment. The acronym LOTUS, L-O-T-U-S, stands for Lab of the United States. INL is rebranding itself to be a testbed, a host for reactor experiments going forward on different versions or technologies, where an experimental reactor needs to be put together and observed before a full-fledged reactor providing commercial power can be constructed. This is the case with the MCRE. The second and third pages are simply an overview of the reactor experiment itself. You can look at the diagrams and probably figure out some of what's going on your own. It's pretty straightforward. The last page is important because it gives an updated timeline for the work that has gone on and will be going on. In my most recent conversation with INL, I believe the intention and the timeline, the purpose and the hope is for for the reactor to actually go undergo fission in the first quarter of 2026. That is, construction should be completed and the reactor available to go online in early 2026. This is consistent with the Southern Company's timeline to get an actual commercial reactor up and going in the early 2030s. I haven't talked with you recently about this project, and I wanted to give you an update. Going forward, I'm still convinced that fourth generation nuclear is the only path forward that will allow for electric rates to remain reasonable and to keep our grid reliable. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler. Not seeing any others online?
There are none.
We'll move to item 3, our consent agenda. 3A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of May 7th, 2024. 3B, bid awards for professional service contracts and amendments. And 3C, consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion. Are any comments from the public regarding our consent agenda?
Not
seeing any hands up, thank you. Commissioner, do you have any questions or comments?
Okay. Yes, Jeff. No. One second. The one that's $2,266,772. It says the substation will not be energized or connected to the electric system. That means during the demolition, but after, of course, it would be, right? It would be energized.
Commissioner, what page?
I think that just was kind of an omission there.
What page are you on?
Hello, commissioners.
It's page 3 of the...
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. Yes. Bob Anderson, manager of Substation Engineering. I think you're referring to the Kameno PWC Public Works contract, correct? So Kameno is currently offline. Demolition has started. This year we'll do the site civil construction. That contract allows us to do that. Next year, electrical construction.
But the statement, it will not be energized, that's just or connected to the electric, so that's just during the demolition and all of that.
That is correct. That way we can use non-qualified contractor.
It will be after.
Yes, absolutely. During the electrical, at the end of the electrical construction. It's less cost if we actually use a non-qualified contractor for the site construction.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sure.
I had questions on the same.
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
This is demolition, and is this work, the prep work? The site preparation? All the pads and all that stuff, and then there'll be a follow-on contract for the electrical side of it?
Not exactly. So demolition is currently ongoing with district crews.
Oh, okay.
And then the contract is simply for the site construction, the foundations that you mentioned, the conduit,
yeah,
all the variety of things, the dirt work, the grading, the new fence, the new landscaping.
Okay.
And then our substation crews will actually do the electrical construction starting in 2025.
Okay.
So we actually divvy up the site construction. Typically, we use contractor, competitive bidding. Site construction, though, we have the expertise in-house. We prefer to use our crews. It's important to them. Also, they do excellent quality work, and they have to live with the substation for the next 40 or 50 years. So it's kind of a win-win on that one.
Oh, I agree with you. Second question on the same award. I don't see any contingency on this, and when you're working with a lot of unknowns, I would imagine. Why is there no contingency on this one?
So for the engineer does an estimate, as you are aware, and then ultimately the contractors are responsible for bidding per the specs and plans.
Right, yeah.
So as long as everything that needs to be done is covered in the contract documents, in the contract drawings, and the specifications, they're responsible for hitting that price mark. So even if they underbid it, for example, for any reason, they are still required to meet.
Right, I understand that. But for a lot of projects, we have contingencies.
Our site
so you didn't feel it was necessary for this one?
For, we've never done that for our site civil construction project for substation, yeah. Now, we do have, if there's any deviation needed from the contract drawings, then we ultimately will work with the contractor to develop a field directive, which gives them, basically a change order is another phrase for it, but we usually use field directive. And then at the end of the contract, we roll up any and all field directives and then come and amend the contract afterwards.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Any other questions on that?
I misspoke, I was looking at the estimate figure instead of the final.
Oh, the engineer's estimate, yes.
Only $1,901,000.
Yes. Well, at least we're within the 15%.
Right, right.
Yes, the engineers, the civil engineers are pretty good at coming up with estimates.
Right, thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the consent agenda, commissioners?
I have no more.
Oh, I have none.
Okay, I have none then. Okay, I'll call for the vote, all those in favor say aye, all those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries unanimously. Next is item 4A, public hearing in action, consideration of resolution clearing certain property interests over a portion of the power line corridor property of the district commonly known as the PNT right-of-way located in the city of Everett, Snohomish County, Washington, to be surplus and authorizing the manager real estate services to execute a recreational trail easement in favor of the city of Everett. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
We'll now convene a public hearing. We have Marie Barnes available to answer any questions on this resolution. So first I'll ask, are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution?
There are none.
Okay. Are there any other, commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't. We've heard a lot about this for a long time.
It feels like we've lived it for a few years. So congratulations, Marina. This is a big lift.
Thank you very much.
Here we are, we're almost there. Okay. I will close the public hearing and I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a motion accepting the first quarter 2024 financial conditions and activities monthly report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Okay, I have Shawnee Upon Hunstock here to provide a presentation. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My pleasure to be here before you. I am Sean Hunstock, senior manager, controller, and auditor for the district. The presentation before you right now is the first quarter of 2024 financial results. Information that is contained in here, I generally try to time the presentation of this monitoring report with Sarah Bond's budget to actual report. That actually happened at the last commission meeting on 4/16, so for a couple meetings back. So, but these numbers in this first quarter 2024 presentation do agree with the numbers that are presented in Sarah's budget to actual report. These are unaudited numbers. We won't see audited numbers again until Q4 of 24. The financial results for the electric and generation system then, net income for the first quarter has declined by about 95%. You've heard previously at different meetings about the cost of purchased power in the first quarter, primarily the Martin Luther King weekend. We had significant purchased power costs over about a 4-day period that weekend. So that drove up the cost of total operating expenses. Total operating revenue did increase by $12 million. That's primarily the wholesale revenue. Outside of that one weekend, we did have wholesale power available for sale in the open market at higher prices. Unfortunately, not enough for that one weekend with significantly colder weather. So we do have higher O&M expenses as well by about $13 million. And if you look at the detail behind that, the individual categories, it's kind of spread all over the place. One thing that I will note in here is we have an increase of about $1.9 million in energy efficiency expenditures for the first quarter also. And as previously mentioned, an increase in purchase power costs, significant costs for the quarter, again, primarily over the Martin Luther King weekend. Capital expenditures are up for the first quarter. The major projects that we have, and these are inception to date expenditures, not necessarily just Q1. We have the North County office with accumulated expenditures of about $40 million, the Stanwood Camino transmission line, $13.6 million, and ConnectUp EMI expenditures to date of $9.7 million. A little more detail on the operating revenue. Retail sales in total for dollars was about even between Q1 of 23 and Q1 of 24. We did see a decrease in the kilowatt hours sold, and we'll see a little more detail on that on a future slide. So a little less power sold, but at a higher rate. So overall, the total revenue for retail sales remain about the same between Q1 of 23 and 24. Wholesale revenue, as I mentioned earlier, did go up. Both the volume and the rate for the wholesale revenue went up. And other revenue went down. That was primarily related to the BPA reserve distribution. We had a $7 million difference between the amount received in Q1 of 23 versus Q1 of 24. So that overall contract, I believe, went from about $24 million down to about $10 million. And that spread between December and September. So it overlaps year end just a little bit, but the overall contract did decrease significantly for 24. Megawatt hours billed. As I mentioned earlier, the volume of megawatt hours billed did decrease for Q1, but the rate was higher, as you can see in the slide at the very top. So the in total, the revenue was about equal between 23 and 24 Q1 for both years. We did have a general rate increase as well in April of 23, and a pass-through, the BPA pass-through that was adopted by Commission in October of 23. So we did have rate increases, but again, at a lower volume of kilowatt hours billed. Wholesale revenue increased, again, I mentioned that earlier, by about 126% in terms of kilowatt hours billed, and the rate was higher as well. And other revenues, again, decreased. That was primarily related to the BPA reserve distribution. Residential energy in the very first category at the top did go down by about 5%. And again, we did have the general rate increase in April of 23 and the BPA pass-through increase that occurred on October 23. Commercial and industrial sales and revenue were about equal between 23 and 24 for Q1. The volume of wholesale power sold and the rate at which it was sold both increased for 24. You may recall for 23, most of the power for that quarter we ended up needing for our own customer sales rather than going to the market, especially compared to the current year. The operating expenses, again, just a little more detail on that. O&M increased by $13 million, again, not a significant increase in individual line items, but I'll mention again the $1.9 million increase in energy efficiency in the customer service area. And again, purchase power increases increased between Q1 of this year and last year, again, primarily related to the MLK weekend. And depreciation and taxes were overall unchanged between last year and this year. Megawatt hours, this is the power supply, the purchases, BPA block and slice. You can see not a significant change there. We have the rates, the kilowatt hour volume, as well as the rates for those two categories. Again, not a significant change from Q1 of 23 to 24. The district generation did go up this year compared to the prior year based on the snowpack that we had in 23 compared to 24. We had more generation this year than we did the prior year. The market purchases went up significantly, and again, that was primarily related to the MLK weekend. The average price per kilowatt hour went up as well, at one point reaching nearly $1,000 per megawatt hour. You can see the average for the quarter is $160. And just for reference, we'll see this, I think, on the next slide. The cost for that, those market purchases was quite a bit higher than the cost of the power that we get from BPA.
And the previous year's cost, 123, was pretty high too.
Right. That's historically high as well, yeah. Right. So this is a new slide. Just again, I wanted to illustrate the relative impact of price changes for the wholesale market, for purchased power, market purchases, as well as market sales. So you can see between comparing Q1 of 23 to Q1 of 24, we purchased more power at a higher cost. In terms of sales, the volume sold was down, but it was at a higher price compared to the previous quarter, but still significantly less than the average cost of the power that we purchased, market power purchases. And just for reference, the BPA slice, again, is at the bottom. You can see the relative cost of the BPA slice product versus our market purchases.
So if I understand this, in both this year and last year, in the first quarter, we purchased more power than we sold wholesale. Is that right?
Wholesale, correct.
That's surprising. It seems...
Purchased more than we sold. That's, yeah, that would mean that we used it more for our own customers versus, I mean, we don't necessarily target market purchases to go out and sell into the market. It just becomes part of the bundle of the power product that we have. So those two are not necessarily directly related. So we don't go to market to sell the power that we've purchased on the open market. So some of those market sales can be a BPA slice and water product as well.
Okay. Because the magnitude of what we're selling when we have slice is huge relative to what we buy, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, way much more the BPA slice and block product.
Right. Yeah, it's a good observation, Commissioner Logan. And this is Jason Zyskowski, Assistant General Manager for Facilities, Generation, Power Rates, and Transmission. And I think it's probably just due to the bad water year. If you look at last year, the amount of market purchases, you know, we made, you see the a percent of power coming from BPA or hydro is, you know, about 10% less than it normally is. And, you know, our market purchases are about 10% more. So it's, you know, it's, we're not getting the water in the mountains, you know, and the snow and coming down through the river. And so that power is coming from somewhere else.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is this represents all of the sales. Like the sales we've done a year in advance of slice, selling day ahead, week ahead. That's what I'm trying to understand. Is that,
yeah.
Is actually we sold less than we purchased in the market. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, it should include all of our sales. And we can get back to you on that and confirm that.
Yeah, I don't think we need to. It's a conspiracy every time I don't put a sport coat on. Scott Jones, the Chief Financial Officer. This is going to represent the stuff that cleared, that materialized for us in that quarter, meaning it could be a day ahead sale that we got, it could be a year ahead sale that ended up clearing. And a lot of times what will happen is we may do a year ahead sale, have it on our book, decide we don't need it, resell it back into the market. We don't, and Sean brought up a really important point. We're not buying it for speculative purposes.
Right.
We're buying it under the risk management program because we think we need it.
Okay.
And then in that moment, in that hour, in that day, if we don't need it, we'll release it back into the market. That could happen same day, day ahead, week ahead, month ahead. But it, if you look at historical budget, we normally are budgeting more sales than we are purchases because of our general position from a resource adequacy standpoint. These last 2 years are not the norm. If you look historically, they might be becoming the norm, but they're not the norm based on what your, you know, history would have been over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. Is that helpful?
I think so. So these are dollars booked, not electrons.
Yeah, without getting too complicated, it should be roughly both.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It should be roughly both. So if we book something a year in advance, it's no different than if we go buy stuff and put it in the warehouse. We're holding on to it until we put it into use. In this case, we're holding on to a future investment at times that we could release, either use or release into the market.
Yeah, I guess my fundamental question, I'm just not, and we're parsing the words, understanding. So we buy two products from Monoville, Lock and Slice, and we sell a certain amount of megawatts in that this quarter, the last quarter,
right,
of those products, of predominantly Slice, to others.
Right.
And so we're saying that we actually had to go out and buy more during that same period of time,
yeah,
than we sold. That just seems dramatic.
Yeah.
Instead of considering why we buy Slice.
It is dramatic.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand, if I'm missing something.
That gets back to Jason's point, which is, you know, because generation was so much different than our normal average. Remember last year, generation was 70 or 75% of the norm, so it was significantly lower.
Yeah.
In a normal good year, we'd have that Slice to sell into the market if we didn't need it. But because Slice is less, most of it is being allocated to our customers. Top of that, we've had to supplement that with purchases, some of which will go into the market and some of which won't. Did I characterize that okay?
Yeah. One, I was just going to point back to Mike Shapley's presentation last month. You know, a year ago, January was a near record low, you know, Slice output. February was a near record low, and then March, April, both new record lows. And fortunately, we've kind of continued that trend. I think we set a new record low in October and November. We haven't been much above it in any of the other months. So we're going out and we're purchasing more power to,
okay,
you know, replace that power that we would have been distributing to customers.
Sorry, Sean.
No problem.
We derailed you.
Sorry, Sean.
Thank you for asking that question.
I mean, I realized we had a 5-day cold spell. You bought a lot of power, but I just didn't think the dollars I understood, I just didn't understand the volume relative to our sales. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Scott?
Yeah, you're welcome.
So again, just to recap, for the electric and generation system, then the net income was down. Revenue, total operating revenue is up. And the operating expenditures up by quite a bit, again, primarily related to purchase power expenses. Financial indicators, the project reserves have gone down by quite a bit. That is planned spending of bond funding of four different projects, some of which I mentioned earlier. The debt service coverage went down by a little bit from 4.0 to 3.4, however, still quite a bit higher than the, I believe it's 1.75 that's required. So far exceeding the debt service coverage requirement, and no change on the bond ratings from Fitch, Standard & Poor's, and Moody's. Operating indicators for megawatt hours billed, again, just a slight decrease in the retail sales and increase, as I mentioned earlier, wholesale megawatt hours as well as the price at which that was sold. The write-offs have gone down, partly due to assistance that we've received from grants for utility arrearages, both in December of last year and June of this year. June of last year and December of 22. And the new customer connections, 978 during the quarter, now up to just over 380,000 total active accounts for power. For the water system, so net income is down as well for the water system. The wholesale revenue has gone down. That's primarily related to a higher than normal number for the wholesale revenue for 23. If you recall, there were some, we had the city of Arlington that had emergency repairs to some of the systems that they had. I believe one was covering for the water storage system that they have. And so the solution to that was increasing the purchases that they made from Snohomish PUD. So we had wholesale revenue that was unusually higher for 23 and somewhat back to normal for 24. So that number went down. Again, the wholesale water sales. Retail sales went up primarily or partially related to rate increases for the water system as well. The operating expenses also increased. We did see a significant decline in the purchased water costs. Again, that was, we had an unusual amount of purchased water in 23, some of which was related to this unexpected demand that we had with the city of Arlington, but also we had a well that was down for part of the year in 23, so that also resulted in unusually high purchased water in 23, again, compared to historical amounts and compared to the current year, 24 as well. And capital expenditures have decreased for Q1 compared to, for 24 compared to 23. Some of the projects that are included in that number, again, these are project to date expenses, not necessarily just Q1 of 24. We have water AMI Connect Up expenses of 2.4 million, Warren Beach treatment plant improvements of 1.3 million, and kayak reservoir improvements of $710,000. Some operating indicators for the water system. Project reserves went up quite a bit, primarily related to the issuance of water bonds last year. The current ratio also remains high, significantly higher than the ratio required by our bond ordinances. And again, no change in the rating for Moody's and Standard & Poor's. Operating indicators, our volume of water sold at the retail to the retail customers is primary or was pretty much unchanged from Q1 of 23 to Q1 of 24. The purchased water cost was increased or higher, excuse me. Again, that was primarily related, I mentioned in previous monitoring reports, primarily related to cost increase from the city of Everett for the purchased water. And customer connections, 105 during the quarter, up to 23,675. And with that, are there any questions?
Oh, no, I
don't. Our contracts, our wholesale water contracts, do our wholesale water contracts, are they sort of set up essentially to sort of isolate us from the ups and downs? They're sort of at cost. So if our sales are down, our costs are proportionally down, or thoughts about that, or?
Christina, would you refer to the experts?
Okay.
Christina Arndt, manager out at Water Utility. We do have specific contracts with each of our wholesale customers. But they're based on the amount of water that we're allowing them to use at a certain time. So they're not chipmunks, but we have a lot of factors in there, depending on how many hydrants, how much main is out there, how many customers are going to be using it for. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
No, not really. I guess I'm trying to understand, unlike our retail customers, which are predictable,
mm-hmm.
our wholesale customers can use our water or decide not to use our water. So I'm sort of wondering if we're insulated in times like this where they're using less or when they're using more.
Yeah, they're fairly predictable, but we kind of take that into account when we're analyzing their usage from year to year, which we do every year.
Okay. Any more questions, commissioners?
Yeah. I will turn the page and I will call the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Next is item 5B, consideration of resolution authorizing the CEO, general manager, and treasurer of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to purchase insurance coverage from various providers for and on behalf of the district. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Kyra Farmer is available to answer any questions, commissioners, regarding the resolution. Let me first see, are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution?
There are none.
Not seeing any online. Do you have any questions, commissioners?
No.
12% your change, which is
insurance
market.
I think they've done the best they could.
Yeah, I missed the last meeting, but I listened to that. Yeah. I listened to the whole thing and I listened to that cumulatively.
Tough time,
yeah. Okay, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next, we have our CEO report. Report first, say, John.
I do have a few things to share. First up, out of our distribution and engineering services, specific to the Connect Up project this week, we're able to deploy AMI meters to every Hat Island home. It required the use of a barge to move the vehicles and a second boat to ferry the team. There were several repairs that were required, including one that had to be performed at low tide. The deployment planning was led by Travis Olson and was supported by teams from the warehouse metering, meter deployment, ops lines, and our contract electrician. And due to the great planning and support, the work was accomplished in just 2 days. From our corporate communications and community engagement, the PUD attended Everett's Bike Everywhere Day on Friday, May 17th. In just a few hours, Laura Zorick, Jason Cummings, and Jenny Harrington spoke to about 200 customers about the electrification of our own PUD fleet and other sustainability initiatives. And then this past Saturday, May 18th, the PUD hosted its second annual Hydropower Appreciation Day at the Woods Creek Sustainability Center. Despite the rain, attendance was surpassed last year with approximately 114 community members taking the 90-minute tour. Community members expressed immense gratitude for the opportunity to learn about the benefits of hydropower and the work being done at the PUD. From our customer and energy services, our Washington State University Energy Program, approved our pre-certification application to the state's Community Solar Expansion Program and will contribute $424,361.72 to our South Everett Community Solar Project. Sun at your fingertips. This is the one-time incentive pay paid upon project completion. That's WSU for you.
Wow.
Oh. Go Cougs, is that what you want me to say?
Thank you.
I'm going to try my
And then a couple other things that are going on in April. Myself, Brenda White, Mark Fleury, Guy Devine, Andrew Flaherty, and Aaron Burke met with the Edmonds Mayor Mike Rosen and his team to continue to build our relationship and address some of the concerns each party has had for quite a while. And those conversations are going well and we're making some good progress to address concerns on both fronts or both sides. Earlier this month, they attended the NERC and MRC Members Representative Committee meetings in DC. Last week, attended the NWPPA Annual Conference. And then upcoming first weekend in June, we have the Large Public Power Council CEO meetings. And the second week, we have the June APPA board meetings and national conference. And that is it. Happy to take any questions.
Just a comment. Our new mayor, Mike Rosen.
Yes.
Is off to a good start, I think.
Yeah.
From what I can tell. And I had, the one question I had about the Hat Island project. What's going to happen to the fees to the people who are getting the benefits of that? Will they have increased fees?
From the AMI project?
Mm-hmm. No, from the new service. Aren't you talking about the cable?
No, this project was specifically just the AMI smart meter deployment, deployment for Hat Island.
So are they able to take advantage of it without the cable being?
Yeah, they still have full power. We are working on the replacement cable project. And
I thought maybe they were using kerosene.
They're in the dark with AMI.
I was going to say, I thought they were using kerosene lamps or something.
No, they actually have three-phase power. We repaired to the faulted cable about 6 months ago. And so they are three-phase cable, but we are still anxious to get that project or keep that project moving to get that cable replaced. And we'll come back to the board with an update on that, the progress around the new cable and then the existing easement for the easement for the existing cable.
I will be interested to know how they're going to be bearing higher rates because of the cable service.
Yeah, they will, and we have presented a couple times the allocation of those costs for the new cable project. But we'll include that in the update.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Olson.
I have no questions.
Yeah, thank you. Next, we have item 7, commission business, 7A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
Well, we had a really good conference in Salt Lake City. One of the best commission sessions that I've ever been to. It was dealing with a lot of financial and fiduciary information that I had never gotten before, other than by osmosis, in our meetings. And so I'm hoping that as we get new commissioners, that they will all go to hear this woman's presentation. Her name is Terry Lynn Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S, and she is phenomenal. She has an incredible background, many years in utility work of all kinds, just like you, in all departments and more. And she's a phenomenal presenter. It was just so good. And that was just kind of one of the highlights for me. And then also the session on collaboration and negotiations with tribes. That was really, really good. Were you there for that? You were somewhere else. No, it was a really wonderful conference. And I can't remember what else I've done, but we've been busy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ms. Olson?
I'm done.
Actually, there's several. First of all, with regard to Camino Island, I spoke to an elected recently and a resident, and unsolicited, they both reported how much reliability has improved on Camino. Now, I don't know if that's statistically significant or not, but
it is.
And then the elected also really compared our response to the response on Whitby from another utility. So, really appreciated the big investments we've made in infrastructure. So, in the Participants Review Board in Salt Lake, I was elected the chair of the PRB. I wasn't here last meeting, so I wanted to comment on Earth Day, just another hit it out of the ballpark day. And I want to thank all of those people that brought their electric cars and stood out in the rain for all that time. We had a phenomenal electric car show. I had big cars I didn't know had been electrified from companies I'd never heard of. and that Meet Carmen Gia kit.
Yeah.
Electric modification, we really had an awesome event, so thank you. I know it took a village to do that. I had an opportunity to go with the Economic Alliance to DC for their fly-in. I was able to lead a panel discussion on energy, where we talked mostly about clean aviation fuels and hydrogen. And so I want to thank Brenda White and the government relations team for prepping me and setting me up for success there. So that's it for my report. Oh, I did talk, got to meet Kim Trier, our new representative to our legislative area. And I was very impressed with her knowledge on the Columbia River Treaty. So, and just impressed with her in general too. She's very engaged for someone who's pretty fresh to Congress.
Well, on the fly-in, I certainly hope that the offer will be made to Snohomish in the future as well.
Yeah,
because I really think that you would probably be a very good addition to their team.
Thank you. I hope so too. It's interesting when you're trying to represent the needs of the county,
yeah,
and not just the utility. Exactly. And we had ignored it a number of conversations with Congress members about hydrogen, which I was sort of unprepared to talk about, and clean aviation fuels. I mean, some of that may impact our utility at some point. We might be making someone in our region, even or our utility, will be making, not our utility, our service area, will be making hydrogen. So, just very interesting. Okay, next is 7B, our commission events calendar. Any changes to the events calendar?
Well, Allison isn't with us, but I would like to attend the May 28th event.
Okay. Any other changes?
Did you let Allison know, or you're letting the clerks know? Yeah.
I'm letting the clerks
take care of
it. We'll
take care of it. And Melissa's here, so.
State of the county, yeah. Any other changes? Okay. So next we have 7C, our strategic plan quarterly update. Any questions or comments on the quarterly update? We have some experts here to answer questions if we need.
A lot of information. I went through it on one day and then went through it on the second day. It's a lot of information.
I did too, for the same reason.
Yeah. It's a lot of information.
Yeah. What I don't remember having seen in the past is operating ratio. And so that's interesting, and I can see the benefit of looking at operating. Maybe it's always been there and I've just never focused on it until now. Yes, my only other comment is that, you know, safety is elusive, and we, you know, it goes up and down, and we,
yeah,
but the severity has declined overall, and so that's wonderful.
Yeah. So back to your other comment, I believe this is the first time that you've seen the operating ratio.
Okay.
And Laura can talk more effectively than I did, but yeah, this is a new dashboard, and it's just outstanding.
Yeah.
Laura Lemke, Senior Program Manager. You might not recall because there was also a lot of information in the Q4 review when we met in February, but that is where we introduced the concept of having the operating ratio metric as part of the strategic plan metrics. I think long term we might replace it with a more cohesive financial health of the district metric, but in the near term that's the one we have in there.
One ratio to rule them all.
One metric to rule them all.
Okay.
To your comment about safety, that especially the safety incidents and or the ORIs, they do tend to fluctuate month to month, both severity and we just talked about this in a safety meeting training that we had yesterday, but over the last 5-6 years, the overall incident rates have gone down significantly. You have to look at that at a longer trend line.
Yeah.
both severity and the incidents have come down significantly. But safety, you never get to spike the football. It's an ongoing journey.
And actually, we're on the dashboard, which is 7D. So 7C is the strategic plan update. Questions about strategic plan update?
This is one of those months where you got hit with both at the same time. So the quarterly update is results through March, and the dashboard is results through April.
You have to admit, this is some great reading.
I have to actually go over it a second time. Call center age, call center service level. Is there anything to the change there, like rate increase or?
Half a second, and then I might call on my esteemed colleague sitting.
Well, it says current service level 61%. Target 75, last month 66, last year 79%.
Yes. And so you're wondering what's driving the decrease in call center service level?
Rate increase or what quarter was this? Was this the first?
This is April's results on the monthly dashboard. And I'm going to let John speak to what might be driving the change in service level.
Yeah, typically it's a rate increase or something else.
John Hoffman, Customer and Energy Services. We felt like you should have all the AGMs speak to you today, so glad you got a chance to get up here. So we actually did monitor if we had incoming calls to the rate increase. The good news was we really didn't see an increase of calls due to the rate increase. Huge shout out to our communications team that worked very hard to make sure that the customers were aware. So that was kind of a non-event. We did have winter staffing and higher bills though, as well as some lower staffing in our call center that we have worked hard to resolve. We had a class that actually just joined the floor 2 weeks ago, and we have another class that starts next week. So we're back up to full staff by August.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say that because John and I had talked about the metric often, that the trend going into this quarter are much, much better. So, yeah.
I wasn't being critical. I see that, and I know that there's a reason for it, and
I actually appreciate you asking the question.
Any more questions, commissioners?
Not on that.
Okay. Next, we have item 8, governance planning. Calendar, are there any changes to governance planning calendar? Page 148 of the packet.
I have no
idea. I don't have any changes either. Okay, is there any further business to come before the board? Okay, hearing none, it is 2:23 p.m. and our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.